Now, once again, here's Mark.
Good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and for the next 2 hours, you're stuck with me. There'll be no music. There'll be nobody selling pills that clean out your colon. There'll be none of that. We're going to talk about cars and cars only. Cars, trucks, motorhomes, whatever you want. Here's how you do it. 602-315. Nope. Just hold on a minute. I got it. 602-508-0960. Gil is one of the best engineers I've ever worked for. He's the one that runs the board, answers your calls, stacks them up for me, makes sure I hit all my marks and stuff like that. So we have a relationship. It's best friends, but it's also like wife, husband. And Gil's a fireman, so he puts out fires before they get really, really big. And I'm quite sure there are times he defends me in spite of the fact that that might not be a good idea. Let's Blackwell Automotive is up 40th and Greenway. He's been a friend of mine for 20 years. I know the shop owners that know what they're doing. I know the shop owners that have morals. I know the shop owners that price appropriately and fairly. I know the shop owners who can fix a car. And I know the shop owners who wouldn't know which end of the screwdriver to use. Blackwell, you can count on him. He's the only shop in the northeast part of the valley that I can recommend. There's not a lot of them that have applied. And it's, the obvious answer is that I have a very fine filter. And just not everybody can get on my list. The best car repair shop list at marksalem.com. So anyway, Blackwell Automotive is a good guy. 602-508-0960. I'm going to do something political that I've never done before. But I was sitting around with a bunch of drunk cowboys the other day. And I was the only one sober, by the way. And we were talking about politics. Now, believe it or not, there was guys in a cowboy's hat there that we're on both ends of the spectrum, but this old codger said, I think we should have a third party. And the place got really quiet. And he says, there's plenty of dissidents from both sides of the aisle. He says, think of the power. This tickles me. Think of the power of a third party. First of all, you'll divide the electorate into thirds, and it's not going to be 33, 33, and so forth. He says, and this party would have to have a name that represents them, so it couldn't be the Patriots, or it couldn't be, it just have to have a name. But think about that. Think about that kind of party. And even if it was the Independent Party, who cares? But just an interesting concept I thought I'd pass along. Okay, 602-508-0960. You got a car problem. Get a call from a friend of mine the other day who has my cell phone, because very few people do, although I say it every once in a while, and Gil will cover for me, because 602, that's my normal, and Gil covers. 602-508-0960 is the line to call in here. So it's a situation where he calls me up, and he says, would you talk to one of my employees? She's got a car problem. Okay, and I do that a lot for those that have my cell phone. And I talk to her, and evidently she had a noise in her engine, and she had taken it to a shop, and as my memory serves me, the shop had determined that the engine was bad and it was going to cost a whole lot of money to fix. And I asked her specific questions, and frankly, she didn't have answers that filled the glass I was trying to fill. Does it make noise on acceleration and none on deceleration? Does it make noise all the time? Does it make it hot and not cold, or cold and not hot? And that's okay. I can ask hairy-chested guys the same question, and they can't answer it. But anyway, I was kind of fuzzy, but I was really concerned about the thousands of dollars to replace this engine. So I said, I need you to go to somebody, and they need to talk to you. And you need to demonstrate the problem. And if they're not going to talk to you or walk outside and assign a technician who's not all greasy to sit in the car, and you go drive and make sure that they hear what you want fixed, then you got to do something. And I said, if you don't have a shop that you like, now folks, you know that I like all shops, but you understand that there's a variety of shops that have different categories. There's independents, there's chains, and there's dealers. So I said, why don't you, if they're a dealer you like, then go see them. So the email comes back and says, the dealer determined that this engine problem was something that they would fix for free. and she's excited about that. And they did determine what the problem was. They had heard the problem before. And if I'm not mistaken, it was kind of a knocking noise. But let me tell you, this happens every day in my life. A guy comes in and says, I was told I needed a motor. And he demonstrates the noise. Now, this noise is there when the truck is sitting there, whether it's in driver park. And it doesn't change except when you rev it just a little bit. But the technician noticed that it did change when you did power steering activation. So technician takes it into the shop. And this is old gray-haired guy. Okay, he's been around the block a couple times. And he walks in and he tells the service writer, bid him a power steering pump bracket. And service writer goes, you know, why don't you go back to the bathroom and flush your ears? You need, he says, just bid a, and so he goes over to parts and he says, I need a power steering bracket for that, and he puts it on. The noise is gone. And this customer had been told likewise that they needed a motor. Folks, there's no reason for us to guess. We are sophisticated. We know what's right and wrong. And I'm talking about our industry. We, not me, we, I'm part of that. We know how to do that. We're supposed to know how to do that. But, now, it's a capital B-U-T. But, we are not going to accept the diagnosis you found in Google. If you want to wad my panties up really bad, in the first sentence or two, you're going to tell me what Google said. That's like trying to go and have your sore throat diagnosed on Google, or the fact that you have ringing in your ears that's intermittent, or the fact that you think you have some kind of cancer, or you know, you have these particular symptoms and someone's going to tell you, oh, you're a diabetic. It's just not possible. We're not going to fix cars over the phone. I can't even fix your car over the phone. It's just not possible. I'm as good as you. If you'll just answer my questions and it's yes, no, and I don't know. The women do the best. Yes, no, I don't know. The guys, it's yes, no, and they'll make something up. It's okay. I am not the soothsayer and the fixer of all the problems in the world. I have a tough time with my own. Okay, Gil, who might we talk to first?
Speaking of women, we're going to talk to Lisa first.
Oh, Lisa, gosh darn, a lady calling in the show. Well, Lisa, you have my perfect attention for as long as you need it.
Hey, Mark, I want to tell you I'm sitting in my car and I'm greasy.
You're crazy?
Greasy. G-R-E-A-S-Y. I'm greasy.
Oh, you're greasy.
You said not to let any greasy car mechanic sit in your car. If he's not greasy, you let him sit in your car. And listen to it. Anyway, trying to make a joke. What I'm calling you about is I bought a 2021 Equinox 1.5 liter engine car. It's an SUV, right? So
yes.
I thought because it was a big car that I could tow a small RV behind it, because my goal when I retire is to hook up a little RV, paint it pink, you know, and travel around the country. So after I bought it, they said, no, you can't do that. So my question is, if I go to a 2.0-liter engine all-wheel drive, can I do it?
And the answer is yes, but someone has to determine two numbers, okay? There is a gross vehicle weight. Now, that's, and it's all acronyms, GVW. Let's pretend your gross vehicle weight is 4,000 pounds. Okay. Then we have a gross combined weight rating, GCWR. GCWR. And let's pretend your gross combined weight is 6,500. Okay. The truck with all your beer, all your boyfriends loaded up complete can only weigh 4,000 pounds. Okay. Now, it's going to be hard for most people to max out the vehicle's carrying capability. So on my one-ton truck, I can put 20 people in it, and that won't get us to the maximum load. So the 4,000 is maximum weight your car can weigh, and in your particular case, if it's going to be you and an ice chest, then that might very well be 3,500. Now, that 6,500 is called gross combined. Here's what it is. The vehicle and a load, the trailer, and its contents. So I'm just making up these numbers, But in reality, those numbers tell you what your Equinox can do. So I don't know how big of a trailer, but I feel pretty confident in guessing that you can pull a one-axle small trailer behind your Equinox. Now, you may not go up the hill to Flagstaff at 75 miles an hour. You might have to pull it in to drive and take it out of overdrive or something like that. But I feel... So I think I would go to U-Haul. Go to U-Haul and say to the guy, would you give me gross vehicle weight for this vehicle? And then if you give me gross combined weight rating for this vehicle, and find out what the difference is. And the difference is what you can tow.
Okay, and it's a 1.5 liter engine, and it's okay, but I can't really speed around somebody that I want to pass right away. Would a 2.0 liter engine give me better speeding around people ability?
Well, when you jam it to the floor, does it get up and fly?
No.
Okay, so I'm asking you because you... I'm thinking that most women don't just stuff the throttle to the floor and let it shift. It'll downshift once or twice and then, and I mean, there's some screaming going on, but you've gone up a significant hill and you stuff the throttle to the floor and it didn't do much better?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I could be wrong about that.
Well, it's doing a little better.
Okay. Because in reality, there should be a significant difference when you stuff it to the floor because the computer goes, uh-oh, Lisa wants to go faster. And then it looks at the speed. It looks at the RPM. This happens in a blink of an eye. And it says, what gear is she in? Where's her foot at? How much load has she got? What's the engine temperature? Okay, I'm going to shift her from sixth to fourth. And then the thing's going to kind of rear its head like a horse and kind of take off a little bit more. So if you go by the U-Haul, then find that. But I can't tell you, you could probably go to a trailer guy here in town and say, can you hook up a small trailer for me? You're going to have the electrical connections in the back of your vehicle. I'm quite sure of that. And you just say, can you let me tow a trailer around for half an hour? And I need to find out what I can drive and what I can safely do. But I don't know the answer, and I've been wrong before, so maybe you did get good advice, but I just don't know, Lisa. Got to take a break. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, and when we come back, I got a nice letter from a gentleman who said to me he thought he had been conned by me. And it has an happy end. It has a happy ending. We'll be back. Well, 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem, and real quick, let me tell you about Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. It's the only shop in Mesa that I can recommend. They're on Main Street in Stapley, just east on the south side of the road. Brian and Thelma, when you walk in, and if you meet Brian or Thelma, you'll understand, and you'll be able to see why they are the only shop in Mesa that I can recommend. Good people, good honest shop, and been around a very long time. Dave, you're up first. How can I help you?
Well, Mark, you know me. I'm a peg leg man.
Okay.
And I was involved in a car accident on the 18th of January. Lady pulled in front of me and towed my car.
Okay.
Which was the 97 Oldsmobile. So,
okay.
I found a 2005 Buick LaCrosse, 103 on the odometer, great shape, nice tires, the whole thing.
Okay.
I want to change the oil, but I'm not sure. I talked to the owner, the former owner, and he said, I don't know whether I'm using synthetic or not. Now,
okay.
You know, I've always been a guy that just uses good, high-quality Valvoline because you recommend that.
Okay. All right. Well, I can answer your question in one of two ways. The owner's manual will tell you what to put in it.
No owner's manual exists.
Okay, but you can get on the Internet, Dave.
I found it, but it's 82 pages long.
Okay, well, you just go to the index and look for oil. But I don't know.
It's 530.
Dave, it doesn't make any difference. Okay? It doesn't make any difference. But on the oil cap, it's very likely on the oil cap that it will give you the weight of the oil. And oftentimes the numbers will tell you whether it's conventional, semi-synthetic, and synthetic. But your question, I think, is if you use synthetic, do I have to use synthetic? And the damn engine doesn't know anything about it. It doesn't know what kind of oil you put in it. And it's not going to hate you if you go from a synthetic to a conventional, or from a semi-synthetic to conventional, or any one of those three things. I kind of know where you're going. You and I have had conversations a lot. But this is a question I really can't answer for you. But you're going to default to what the oil cap may say on it. And number two, the owner's manual. That will be the easy thing. Good luck, Dave. And I'm sorry you got your car wrecked. I know you loved that thing. And hopefully you'll be in better shape after this. Vic, you're up next. Vic?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was listening to you on my cell phone. I have an F-250. Four-wheel drive Ford. Did I say F-250 or 350?
I'll take whichever one you want.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. So I'm looking for a shop to swap out the motor in it. I've owned it since it's brand new. It has 277,000. It's been a great truck to me. It's very clean. And so I'm thinking about putting a brand new motor in it, a crate
okay.
motor.
Okay. Now, is it diesel or gas?
It's gas.
Okay.
It's a V10.
Okay. Does it use any oil or leak any oil?
It burns it, but it doesn't leak it. Rear seal, if I don't drive it and let it sit, because I have a transit van that I use for work, mm-hmm. If I let it sit for a long period of time, it'll start seeping. So okay. if I start driving it, it stops.
Okay, and do you ever see any black smoke or foul spark plugs?
No, not at all. Okay. I'm real regimented on my services.
Okay, if you came to my shop, I wouldn't do it.
Okay,
the motors today are. I am surrounded with motors that are 200, 300, 400, and 500,000. I'm
okay.
surrounded. There are specific symptoms that I just enumerated that would suggest that you start looking, and a crate motor from Ford is a bad idea. You just get a motor that the shop's going to guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ford didn't rebuild your engine, and Ford doesn't make the parts in the Ford box. Neither does Chevrolet or Dodge or Honda or Toyota. Okay, that's mm-hmm. we get that. One company in the whole world makes motor mounts. So in your particular case, I don't care about the seeping, because my truck with 130,000 miles, my Dodge diesel, it seeps, and I'm not going to fix it. I wanted to, if there's a lot of oil leaking, it's because of internal pressure, which is the beginning of the end. Fouled spark mm-hmm. plugs are the beginning of the end. Consumption of oil is the beginning of the end. Blue smoke out the tailpipe tells us clearly we're drinking oil. All of those things. So if you want, and I'm telling you the truth. If you want to go to Disneyland and take all my grandkids, they can go with you. Because now, if you put a three-axle trailer behind that dog and decide to buy a place up in Flagstaff and go up and down every weekend, I want you to pay particular attention to any symptoms. But right now, really and truly, we have engines that go a very... What year is your Ford, by the way?
2002.
Okay. Everybody's going to go, it's an 18-year-old car. I don't care. You don't have the symptoms. Just because the guy's 60 years old, we don't put him out to pasture. So
right.
You just don't have the symptoms that I think you should pay attention to. I think you should enjoy the truck. And I don't think you have a bigger risk of having a problem with a new engine than you have with that one right now. Because it's not uncommon for us to have a severe oil leak or an engine miss or a valve that's dancing, all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. the answer to your question is real simple. I think I'd pass on this, but what part of town do you live in?
Chandler.
Okay. I would be happy. I don't have a shop in Chandler. As a matter of fact, I don't have shop south of the 60. But we're mm-hmm. at I-10 and Warner Road, and if you called and said, I want somebody to drive my truck and just give it a quick eyeball over, we can't tell into the future, but I've really covered all the bases that we're likely to cover.
Yeah, you have, for sure.
So
there's a company named Jasper Motors. They've mm-hmm. been doing engines for as long as I've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who they recommended, or my uncle actually recommended, to purchase the crate motor. They research all the defects in the motor, like a Ford motor, and then they fix it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you right now, had you asked me that, see, usually people talk about a crate motor comes from the dealer, so I mistakenly went in that direction. I buy Jasper. And we install Jasper, and I remember on a Ford F-250, we had an oil-burning, fire-breathing dragon. So we said, hey, you know, Mark, take it out. Put him in a rental car. Yes, sir. Ship me back the motor. Mark, we screwed up on the rebuild. We're sending you another motor because I don't want the one you sent me. We'll send you another motor. I'll pay the rental. I'll do all that. I'll pay you to do it again. Put it back in. Boo! Perfect. Now, that's happened maybe once every 3 years on Jasper trannies and differentials and engines. So it's not a pattern failure. But I'm happy to agree that that is the best option for you. So, and Vic, I got to go, but Keith, please hold over the break because I'll get you next. And then anybody else that wants to stand in line, I have four lines open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You're more than welcome to call in. And ladies, if your husband won't call in but he has a question, then you just call in and tell us your name is Harry, and we'll be able to tell by your voice that you're talking for your husband. Oh, boy. And then when I get a chance, I'm going to tell you how somebody called, said that they thought they had been conned by me, and how we handled it, and how he handled it, and if there's a happy ending to this story. But it's been a long time since anybody's put Mark Salem in the same sentence as his con. But that's okay, because I'm a big boy, and these are learning experiences for me. So I'm grateful for those learning experiences and the times when the Lord says, get on your knees. We've got a little whistle in our mic, and so we're sorry about that. We'll fix it, but Gil and I don't know right now how to fix it, and it's on my end, I can tell you that much. Okay, let's talk real quick about automatic transmission exchange. He's on 40th Street in Washington. Phil's been around a very long time. He's a very competent technician. Him and his staff can diagnose it. If you can demonstrate it, they can diagnose it. They can bid it, and they're really good about getting close to their bid. As a matter of fact, most of us are going to overbid it, which sometimes is detrimental, just in case we need an extra here or there. So most of us want to be under our estimate, and we do that too. So that's automatic transmission exchange. Let's go to Keith. Keith, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I always enjoy doing morning chores, listening, learning, and laughing a little bit. I hate to mention blue smoke and burning oil right after the last call, but it's kind of what my call is related to.
Okay.
I've got a 2013 Kia Sportage. We just hit about 89,000 miles on it. And probably a couple months ago, I started noticing it's burning a lot of oil. Okay. Getting some blue smoke out of the back if we let it sit for a couple of days, on acceleration, going up to Jerome or something like that. Punch it, and there's a lot of blue smoke coming out of there. So we had it tuned up. I changed the PCV valve, and still we're losing oil, so I had an oil change to factory specs, got everything set, and started monitoring it. And, for instance, if I was to go from Northeast Phoenix to Watson Lake and Prescott and back in one day, I'd burn a quart of oil.
Okay, now that's wait a minute. That's moves from the full mark to the ad mark.
Yep.
Okay, that's a quart on every car.
Yep.
Okay, now let me ask you some questions.
Sure.
When you pulled the PCV valve out, was that especially dirty in that area? Was the hose kind of saturated with oil, that kind of stuff, or was it a really clean assembly?
No, it looked like it was the original one, and it looked like I dunked it in a vat of grit and grime and grease and peanut butter or something. It was disgusting.
Okay.
I replaced it with a new one.
Okay, I'm not going to be able to tell you where the oil's coming from. I can't. I don't like the fact that you used a quart of oil in the trip you described. But I can tell you, if you want to do it, start by pulling the spark plugs out, and you're going to find one of them that's burning the oil. Then the question is it rings, or is it in the top end? Could it be a valve guide seal on the intake valve, so forth and so on? Then you can, once you find the problem, I want you to go ahead and pull the spark plugs on either side of it. are we have more than one cylinder? Do we have Siamese cylinders that are, we've got a problem? We drop a scope down inside the cylinder, and we want to see, we want to compare two, always two. So we'll drop a scope down into the cylinder that we pulled the bad spark plug out of. Then we'll drop the scope down into the cylinder of the cylinder next to it. So we want to see some kind of contrast. Once there are tests done, and then also we can air up the cylinder and note what we call a leak down. So you can air up different cylinders and just kind of watch. And this one loses, you know, 30 pounds in 5 seconds, and this one doesn't even lose a pound in a minute. Those kinds of things. So we can figure out where the oil's coming from.
Sure.
That's the real question.
Yeah, that's kind of my next question, because the research of why is this thing burning oil like this led to forums, engine recalls, which I was not aware Sportage was involved with a 2013 to about a 2016, the 2.4 liter four-cylinder engine.
Okay.
Apparently, Elantras, everything with a four-cylinder in those years, after about 85, 90,000 miles, there's a lot of forums where people say, yeah, this just started happening to me, what do I do? So I know it's burning oil, and I know if we were to do compression, I guess that's what I'm really asking is, I know it's burning oil. We don't want to buy a new car. I don't really want to get rid of it. I don't want to pay $2,500 or $2,500 to get it, you know, down to where my valves are being rebuilt or whatever it needs to be done there, or just keep adding oil as needed, as was recommended by a couple.
All right. That's a lot to digest. I don't really care what others have recommended that you do. They're no smarter about this issue than I am right now. So I don't know that recommendations are going to do anything. And your $2,500 to pull the head is way too low. Way too low. I think I would take it in to the dealer that you bought it, if it's here local. And I think I would say to them, I have an oil consumption problem at 89,000 miles. I think that's kind of unusual, and I would like you to analyze the oil consumption problem and first determine where it's at and what it is. But I don't want you to charge me any money until you tell me you're going to charge me money.
Got it. I'm sorry, I missed it. Did you say go to the dealer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're going to punch in your VIN number and tell you, oh, yeah, there is a recall on this, but here are the parameters. Okay. If the driver has red hair and there's three cigarette butts in the ashtray, then you're covered. Okay. There's going to be all these moving parts. General Motors has got this problem with their V8 motors where we're trashing camshaft and lifters like there's no tomorrow. The police cars, the Tahoes, I mean to tell you, we are doing a lot of them, but so is everybody else. And GM doesn't know whether the lifter's damaging the cam or the cam's damaging the lifter. And as a result of that, everything's up in the air. Now, right now, there is a kit to fix it, but it's not going to last any longer than the original one, so we're just kind of patching it up. In your particular case, the real answer is before we start deciding what we're going to do after, we got to figure out where it's at and the cost associated of fixing it. I'm thinking this could be all kinds of things that don't cost much money, but it could be something that's significant. Good luck to you, Keith. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back in a minute. Well, welcome back, everybody. We found the whistle in the background. It's my power supply. And the bad news is that I've lost all my desk stuff because I had to reboot everything. But that's okay. Gil and I are going to work together. Larry Harker's Auto Repairs at 38th Avenue and Indian School. He's got that whole area to himself. He's really good at what he does. He's honest, dependable, and all you have to do is meet Ellen at the front counter. She's an old cowgirl, and you know she's not putting up with no shenanigans. But in addition to that, her husband and her daughter's husband works there. And so in that situation, you probably know that she has unusual power. So that's Larry Harker's Auto, a great place, and great diagnosticians. Great. Okay, let me pull the other paper up. Keith, you had another question? Go right ahead. Okay, then let's go to Chris. Chris, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning. Thank you. I got a couple of questions too, but this main one is really the primary one that we got to get something done on. My son bought one of these Challengers that with 90,000 miles on it. It's like 8 years old. It's really a hot rod car. It's a V8, you know, one of the, but it's only got the 2-bolt mains, not the 4-bolt mains.
Okay.
But it still does that deep throaty growl type of thing. He likes to race around.
Okay.
Well, he blew it up. And then he got another motor out of the paper, and it only had 1,500 miles, but it was 8 years newer, so there was interface problems and stuff and computer problems, and he blew it up. And so then he took the heads off the old motor and put them on the new motor and fixed the timing and everything, and then he threw a rod. Is there a way to take two engines' worth of parts and take them to somebody to see if one good engine could be made that was made correctly from the start?
There's nobody I know that would take that. That is a crash waiting to happen.
Is it? Okay.
We don't have any of the original. I mean, forget the 2-bolt and 4-bolt main thing. That was something in the 70s that everybody talked about. We don't care about that anymore. So I know it's a hot rod, but changing the computer and some of those other things to modify the car to put another engine in. So you got engine A that's bad, then you put engine B in, and it doesn't work, and now we're going to C. And I don't want no part of that, and I can speak for everybody I know. That is just a bad situation, and no matter what you do, if anything happens, you're the last guy to touch it. So
okay.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I guess the only place that might take this would be a dealer. I don't know what to tell you.
Is this one of those things that Jasper Motor would fix?
The problem, there's been so many modifications. And then the question has, we got to do an autopsy on that one that threw a rod. Is the rod stretched? Did the piston hit the cam or the head? And if that's the case, it's the person that's got their foot on their hands on the steering wheel and their foot on the throttle. So you bring in a motor that's thrown a rod that's relatively new or a good used one or whatever after the other one went bad. I can't control the guy, and I got a son like that. So I can't control his foot. I can't control how he drives, and I can't control if he pulls up next to a Corvette and decides to measure his car against a twin-turbo Corvette or something. So I just don't know what to tell you.
Oh, my gosh. You're confirming my fears.
Here's what I want you to do, if you wouldn't mind. I would like very much for you to send me your name and phone number in an email address. And my email address is Mark, with a K, mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do, I'm going to make you go. I want you to send me an email writing down what you just told me. This is the year, make, and model of the Challenger. This is the side of the motor. This is what happened. Then he replaced the motor, and there was some computer work, and then we put another motor in it, and now it's got a blown rod. I need
It made a hole in the oil pan.
Oh no, I'm trusting you that it's got a blown rod. Yeah, and you're right. That's the way you know it, is because some portion of the guts is hanging out. I want to tell you something. I've done a modification where I put a fuel injected car in a carbureted truck. I've done all of that. The problem is I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, Chris, I'm sorry. That's the best I can do for you, but I promise to do something better. Send me I want more than a synopsis. If you can tell me where the second motor came from and where the third motor came from and what differences there may have been. Were they both the same cubic inches? Did one have a fuel injection, that was different than the other? And that's why he had to put a computer in. And I need a lot of answers to those questions, but I know three guys that might want this. but I'm willing, I give you 50-50 odds that none of them are going to want this. Because here's the deal. Right now, we gotta make money when the business is good, and right now we are swamped. Our industry is swamped because mom and dad are home. So we get mom's car on Monday, they pick up that on Wednesday, and then they drop dad's car off. We're doing RVs like we never did before because people are just taking their kids and getting the heck out of Dodge. So right now you got to make hay when the sun is shining, and this is something that you need in the slow time. So I'll help you the best I can. Gil, have we got anybody else?
Oh, the phone lines are open, Mark.
Phone lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I just want to remind you that Google's not going to tell you how to fix your car. Folks, I can't tell you how many cars have come into my shop, and I'm near Warner and I-10. This show is not about my shop. I'm not sitting here thumping my chest telling you I can fix everything in the world, because I can't. We can't. But the bottom line is I'm in tune with all the other not all of them, many of the other shops in town, and we talk and we share. And right now it's really different. But we all, when the word of Google comes out of your mouth when you're standing at the front counter, it's just, it's no different than you standing at the front counter of the doctor's office and say, I have cancer of the throat. And then how do you know that? Well, I went to Google and I told him this, and my ear hurt and my right nostril's running and my right foot is swelling up, and they said that, you know, I have cancer of the throat, something like that. Anyway, so please don't do that. Please don't do that. And when it comes to parts, understand this. You can buy the part cheaper than I'm going to sell it to you, but your part doesn't come with a labor warranty, and your car doesn't come with a diagnostic warranty in this case. In order to determine if our part is defective, many times we have to do a diagnostic process. We have to figure it out. Oftentimes it's not related, but most of the time it is. You get that for free. But if you think your part's bad and you hang another part on it, you still got the problem. You just took a step backwards. Now you're going to have somebody to do it, and you can't go to Google. So 602-508-0960. Gil, did I hear that doorbell ring?
Oh, yes, you did.
I'm ready.
Talk to Jim now.
Jim, good morning. Thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hello. Can you hear me? This is about the first time I've used my my Bluetooth on the car. Let me pull over. First of all, I want to thank you for sharing your gift on your knowledge on fixing things. And
thank you.
The second thing is my... Oh, no, thank you. My wife and I bought a used Kia Sorento 2013 from a dealer, and the paint is kind of has bubbled and is chipping off. Now, I've talked to different people, you know, here and there when I drive into a fast food place and see somebody with a car painting shirt on, you know, hey, can you take a look at this? And they say that spot painting, I wouldn't be happy with it. But I've also heard that there's a industry standard 10-year kind of, hey, if anything happens, just bring it back because we need to stand by it. We didn't opt to get the extra coverage for the paint and all the little bells and whistles when we bought it. Is that true that if I bring it to the dealer and say I'm not happy with this paint job, you can obviously see it's gone bad. Okay. Do I have any recourse getting it taken care of?
You bought a used car from a dealer?
Yes.
Okay, fair
here
enough.
Here in Phoenix.
Okay. Yeah. I think the plan is this. Have it washed and take it to the body shop of the dealer. And I this is what I would do. I would say, would you take a look at this and let me know? Now, I'm going to ask you a real quick question, quick answer. Is this all over the car, or is it localized on one door, or the door in the trunk, or tell me about it's
okay. Where is it? It's on the side of the windshield, the column, support columns.
Yep, pillar.
Along the top and some on the hood.
Okay, good. But there's none on the doors, and there's none on the trunk.
No.
Okay.
No.
I need you to Carfax the VIN. Please go to Carfax.com, put the VIN in there, and let's see if this car has ever been wrecked. Okay? That's what we want to do first. There's a really good chance it's been wrecked. It's a really good chance that somebody has fixed it and painted it, there's a really good chance that somebody didn't do a good job. So
okay.
I'm not suggesting that you spot paint this. I would be very comfortable having a couple of body shops that I know. It's going to cost the windshield pillar. We're going to do the pillar up, and we're going to do the whole roof. And maybe we'll drop down to the other pillar over there. We can match paint. We have computers to do that. I'm not in the paint bodywork, but I know lots of those guys because they're friends of mine, because my wife wrecks all of every car we have. So as a result of that, I think – don't laugh at it. She says no one's supposed to laugh at my jokes.
You're putting your mouth. Watch it.
Yeah, I know. And she's going to have her foot in the dark place and somewhere. Yeah, what part of town do you live in?
7th Avenue, Union Hills.
Okay, I want you to go to Phoenix Body Works. Go to Phoenix Body Works and talk to Heather. And just say, Mark Salem said you would look at this for me. I would just like you to look at this and tell me what you think I should do to fix this. They're not going to fix just the pillar and a little bit of the roof. That's bad for you.
Right.
But I think, and if you wreck the car, we can always match the paint. So I think this shows a substandard damage. It could have been hail damage. It could have been a car wreck. It could have been that the garage door fell on the car, whatever. But let's do a Carfax first, because maybe you could get the dealer. Maybe you could say, I don't want to be, and you need to talk to a big shot at the dealership. I don't want to be a jerk, but I bought this car from you. And I didn't know it's been wrecked, and here's the paperwork. And I've been told by your body shop or another body shop that this is just simply a matter of somebody did some repair work on it and didn't paint it right. I'm just wondering if you would check into this for me and see if there's any kind of consideration that you would be willing to extend to me, because I wish I would have known this before I bought it. But I'm not mad at you. I'd just like you to explore that.
Yeah.
Take a couple of pictures. See, I want customers to do that to me. I don't want them to come in and question my heritage and question whether I'm a man or not. I want them to just be nice, because I've been in this dispute resolution business all my life. And I know it, asking the right questions and throwing out the right words is the key to making this happen. You'll notice. I just want you to look at it. I just want you to see if there's any consideration for me. It's just the way you phrase it. But Phoenix Body Works will answer your question. The answer to the question is what happened here and how much does it cost to fix it? Two easy questions. And then the third question is what's the Mark Salem discount? They're going to laugh at you and tell you that I'm an idiot. But and another thing too that I really want to tell you, Jim, I don't make any money off of these kinds of referrals. I promise you. I never.
Right.
Now, if somebody sends me a check, I donate it. I'll take it to the church, or I'll go to Salvation Army or something like that. So this is not – I've been doing radio since 1988 in the Valley. I came from another station. To be perfectly honest with you, that big dog station, I might get two or three calls an hour. And here, Gil and I can pop 15 to 20 in 2 hours. So this was good for me. But you'll rarely hear – the name of my shop. You'll rarely hear anything about me, because this is about you. This is about helping you and guiding you, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that many of you recognize that. And so that's what it's all about for me. But anyway, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about somebody that talked about that they had been conned. It's a good story, and it's a happy ending as well. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. Gil will answer the phone. Be nice to him, because sometimes his finger slips off the button onto the see you later.
And here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Every Saturday, we're here from 10 a.m. to noon talking about cars and boats and motorhomes. And motorhomes actually is my favorite subject, because I've traveled a lot in motorhomes. And I went with a friend of mine the other day for free. And he says, I want to look at this motorhome. It was like it was represented as a 2003 Bounder motorhome, and it was really a 2000, but I think he made a mistake. But that thing was inside, and it was pristine. The outside of the paint, oh, it was beautiful, and $20,000. And I said, you got to buy this. This is perfect. Well, we looked at the motor and the generator, and we did all the stuff that we need to do, check the hot water heater and all that stuff. It's all fine. So he got like a $1,000 checkout for free. But then again, his wife's a good cook. So that's kind of a day in the life of Mark Salem. When we talk about good car repair shops, Kurt's Auto at I-17 and Bell is a good shop. He's been around a long time. Kurt and Eric run it. I want to tell you, I know their cell phone numbers. I've met their families, as I have all the shop. And we're friends. And when you're in that area and you call me, I'm going to send you to Kurt's to have them diagnose it. And they may charge you, but they're going to be able to diagnose this. And I can't tell you how many times Kurt has saved people money because the diagnostic that they actually had was not necessarily all of it or it was wrong. So that has everything to do with the Kurt's Auto Repair. Custer, good morning. How can I help you?
Hi. I'm not so sure I'm asking for help. I just want to comment. I have a 2004 Frontier with manual transmission, and in the last couple months I had intermittent stalling, like in the I-17 southbound traffic, and I took it to my local ASE mechanic, who's good, and I've used him for a decade or more, once a year, and he told me this was beyond the scope of his instrumentation to diagnose such an intermittent, and he suggested a dealer. Well, instead, as a loyal listener, I chose to try Blackwell Automotive because they're only like 2 miles from me.
Okay, Custer, if this is bad, I'm going to cut you off. If it's good, I'm going to let you talk.
No, it's good.
I know it is.
Blackwell did a great job. He did a great job for me. He found a bent pin on a harness to the computer.
Okay. How much did he charge you for that?
They did a great job for me. I just wanted to shout out for him.
Okay, but how much?
How much did they charge?
Yeah.
Oh, the bill was like $600, and okay. There were three check engine codes, and I know enough from your show not to throw parts at it.
Okay.
And there were two things that were completely unrelated to the, to the fix. An oxygen sensor was replaced. Maybe
okay.
That was part of the stalling. And
okay.
Also the bent pin, because I had a low fuel sender code, and I also
okay.
had a EGR heater code.
Okay, so what you the synopsis here, Custer, is that you had a variety of codes and symptoms, and it's unusual to have I push the clutch in and a manual transmission dies, and that's just
yes.
really unusual. So here's the bottom line. I don't know about the O2 sensor and the bent pin and all that kind of stuff, but today, after $600, you're all done. It's fixed. No more check engine light. No more dying, and under the best of conditions, most of us will take a picture of the pin so that you can have it for whatever, show your wife. So thank you for that. It's the attaboy for Tom at Blackwell Automotive is something I get on a regular basis, but I'm really proud of my shops when they pull a rabbit out of their hat. Tom, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yes, Mark. I had a question for you. I have a 2016. It's a Hyundai Accent mileage car. I've noticed a big difference in the, it's got a little onboard computer that says how many miles per gallon. Some showing like a 5 or 6 mile per gallon swing when it's 40 outside versus like the other day when it gets in the 80. What actually tells the computer to richen up like that?
No, it doesn't. A mile per gallon has nothing to do with the computer telling the motor what to do. There's unrelated. The mile per gallon is literally the computer is monitoring your miles and the fall of gasoline in your tank. That's it.
Okay.
Now, let me change your question just a tad. So what's the difference between hot and cold? That's the answer you need. When it's cold, mine does the same thing. No one believes that my one-ton truck gets about 16 miles to the gallon, and I don't care because that's what the gas tells me and my numbers tell me. But recently, up here in Payson, I'm waking up and it's 11 or 12 degrees. Now, the other morning, I had to run to Phoenix, and I went to speed limit, I promise you. But I was hauling. Before I left, I thought, I'm just going to reset it. Now, I'm going downhill from Payson. I had to go to the 202 and Dobson. And I get there, and I've lost a lot of fuel economy, but I've gone through the cold weather. And, of course, yes, the computer is not changed. It's the weather that's causing the computer to open up the gasoline faucet. It's not the mileage thing. It's the weather. Now, the more moisture the weather has and the colder the weather has and how long it takes to warm up your engine to full operating temperature, the computer's controlling all of that. But the cold air coming in, the moisture the cold air typically has, the ambient temperature that's outside, all of those have an effect on your fuel economy. And so if this is something that just happened because of the weather, I wouldn't do a thing. No check engine light, there's no problem. Don't do anything. I think you're wasting your money.
Okay. My question, and I guess it was my misunderstanding, I visualized the computer richening the car up, putting additional fuel in because it is cold to keep that balance. So maybe that's not the case.
No, the car doesn't care where the fuel is in the tank. It does monitor the fuel, but more important, it monitors the fuel and RPMs and the miles. And so it's looking at all of those. And I want to tell you something, they're not always really accurate. Because, you know, when I leave Payson, I have 3 downhill jaunts. And it's not uncommon for me to have my throttle 1/16 of an inch open as I'm blazing down those hills at this speed limit of 65 miles an hour. So it doesn't know that. Plus, the butt end of my truck is up in the air, and the nose is down as I go downhill. So all the fuel runs to the front, which means that the gauge will drop just a tad, and I'm fooling the computer at that point because it thinks the gasoline tank's more full than it is. Likewise, when I start going up a hill, the computer doesn't have a level analyzation of the fuel in my tank. And it's also sloshing around a lot. My wife's car is worse, but mine is the same. So my advice to you is don't spend any money on this. Let's wait till the weather changes. And just going into spring and just going into winter is the two areas that we're typically going to have this question. But please don't spend any money on this.
All right. I had one more question. I'd heard over the years, if you get your car and you raise it up in the back and lower it in the front, you're going downhill all the time. What do you think?
Well, I do, but I see big problems with that. We've thrown the balance of the car out. The ABS is going to have a tough time because the back tires, because we got all the weight on the front tire, so the back tires are up in the air. So they're going to lock up sooner. So the ABS is going to dump the pressure on the back brakes, which is going to put additional pressure on the front brakes. You're going to have to readjust your headlights. Now, all the fluids levels have now changed. So the aerodynamics of the car or any kind of benefit is outweighed by all the negatives of this. Plus, I don't want my kids driving that car because when they hammer the brakes, the front end's going to drop, the back end's going to come out, and we're not going to have any braking on the back side of the car. So now all of a sudden we only have 60% of our capability because we got 40% of the butt of that car up in the air. So everybody knows that the front dives and the back comes up. So I know that your wife's brother came up with this, but to respect,
I was trying to pull your leg there about that going downhill all the time.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
But I appreciate the explanation.
Okay. All right. I missed it. I just missed it. And see, I can't see your faces. Have you folks noticed that everybody wears this mask, but you can't see them smiling? All you can see is their eyes. So you don't know if your joke made any difference or if your thank you was graciously accepted. You don't know any of that. I think we should wear clear masks. And so that way we can see one another smile. But then again, I'm not the president of the United States, although I am an advocate of a three-party system, because there's going to be dissidents on both sides, and I would really like to belong to the part in the middle, because right now Mark Salem doesn't like the left or the right. So I don't know, but then again, I'm not in charge of the world. I'm only in charge of two addresses. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are open. Gil's there to take your call, and we'll do everything we can to get you. Okay, here's the day in the life of Mark Salem. Okay, ready? Gil says to me first thing this morning, there's a whistle in the back. Can you find it? So I take my headphones off, and there is that. So I'm going all over the studio trying to unplug stuff. And so I think it might be the battery backup that hooks to all my radio equipment and all my computers and everything. And it has a red light on it. So I unplug that. I quickly plug the whole computer into the wall, and it's too late. I lost all my time. It's closed all along properties, but Gil saves me. And it's gone. So the red light, I couldn't see it because it's behind the desk, says replace battery. So I'm pretty handy with a screwdriver, and so I pull the battery out. And it has this tag on it, and it says, this is so-and-so, so-and-so, this battery, and I'm not going to give you the name of the company. This battery has been tested and exceeds the standards and certified by the company that sold you this. Nyeh, 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 nyeh. But I look at the battery, and it's a motorcycle battery, and typically the motorcycle batteries will have some number that will distinguish them. So I peel the tag off, and underneath it says, Power Your Life, Long Batteries, William Paul 3-12, 13 or 12 volt, 3 amp. So this is the battery when we lose power in my studio. This little bitty battery is supposed to light up the desk, and it does, and it does. But I also found out during the break that this battery with that brand on it is twice as much as this battery that I buy using the part number underneath the tag that tells me it belongs to Jones. So I don't know what's the matter with me. Most everybody that knows me knows that I'm half bubble off plum, and some say I'm a little bit more than that. But that's how my mind works. So I'm not going to buy their expensive battery. I'm going to buy this battery made by somebody else, but that was covered by their sticker. And the sticker said, you can only use our battery because it's got the power you need. Okay, well, this sticker is from company A, B, and C, but the battery is from China. 602-508-0960. We'll be back. Well, welcome back, everybody. I probably should get the clock back on here, hey? And Gil is such a good guy, and he puts up with me as I stumble through as if I was just starting doing radio day before yesterday, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's get back to the battery real quick, and then we're going to get to Keith. I just checked the battery, and Kung Long, at one particular mail order place, has it for $10.99. The same battery is $19.93, $13.69, $18.99, and $16.99. And the one I'm going to buy is $16.99 because I've located it at the local Walmart store, and it's the same damn battery that all the rest of these sell for between $10 and $19, $10 and $19, plus it's right around the corner, and I'm going to go pick that up. And that's what I'm going to put in my battery backup for my computer system. So it's not that I'm the smartest guy in the world, but it is that I do learn fast from mistakes I made, and unfortunately, that's an everyday deal. So, and most everybody will attest to that, and God bless Gil for putting up with me. It's kind of like I'm going to recover projects, and my computer just came up, Gil, so I'm trying to find my clock, you know what I mean? Anyway, when we talk about everything else, it's car repair stuff, and you're more than welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. Keith, thank you for calling back. You have my full attention.
Good morning, sir. Question for you about a 2008 Toyota Solara convertible. Bought it used, great car. It feels like it's brand new with 40,000 miles on it. But the headlights, they need to be adjusted up. And I've looked and looked. I've tried looking online. I can't find anywhere to figure out how to adjust those headlights up. Is it something that I can find online or that you can steer me in the right direction for?
Well, if there's nothing in the front, there's going to be behind the headlights. So you open up the hood and look for some hole in the metal somewhere close to the headlight and get your flashlight and shine it through the hole, and there'll be a little Allen wrench, a male Allen or a female Allen or a Phillips head or something like that, and you'll take your screwdriver or your ratchet with a long extension and you'll stick down there and you'll align them. Now,
that's where I thought. Didn't see it, though.
Okay. I really don't know where it's at. But I'm quite sure if it's not on the front, it's on the back. The only other place it might be is if you crawl underneath and if you can look up at the headlight, there might be an adjustment. But frankly, I've never laid on my back to align the headlights.
Okay.
You could call a couple of shops and this is how I think it should sound. Now, Monday morning and Friday afternoons is you're not going to get their attention for obvious reasons.
Okay.
You call the shop and you say, I have this 2008 Toyota Solero, and I need to, I would like very much to have the headlights brought up just a little bit. They're just down too far. And do you have the ability to align my headlights, and do you have the ability to align them where they should be? Because you might say to me, if I bring those lights up where you want it, Keith, you're going to have people blinking their lights at you because they're thinking you got your brights on. And
right.
So, and then that's kind of a tough thing because we all have pretty sophisticated equipment. We have these boxes we put in front of the headlights, and we dial in the car, and we dial in off the floor and all that kind of stuff, and it's all this fancy stuff, and we put the headlights in there, and we adjust them, and they don't come back. Never mind the box costs $3,000. It's on wheels, but it's something that makes our job much faster, much better. So let me ask you this. When you pull up to the garage door, are they both the same left and right and up and down?
Yes.
Good. Good. Now, when you stand at the back of the car and you kneel down on one knee and you sight right down the side of the car, I want to make sure that there's 3 inches of white over here on the left and 3 inches of right on the left. There, it's equal on both sides. So you can tell the up and down, but you got to stand at the back of the car to kind of sight down the car. Now, if you find the adjustment, you need to look at the adjustment to determine if you're connected to the bottom of the headlight or the top of the headlight, because which way you turn is going to make a difference. But you can have your wife put her hand on the lens. Now, is this covered with plastic? Are these lights covered with plastic?
Yes.
Oh, okay, never mind touching the lens because we're going to move the light bulb inside, I think. So, and then if you find out that somebody's going to adjust your headlights for $30, maybe you just go see them.
Oh, absolutely. That's
what I, what part of town are you in?
I'm up in Anthem area.
Oh, okay.
North Phoenix.
Northeast?
North Phoenix.
Okay, Action Auto at Deer Valley and I-17. I'd call him. He's closest to you. And Mark Salem said to ask you if you can do my Toyota Solera headlights adjustment. If not, Kurtz at Bell Road and I-17, either Action or Bell can take care of that. I'm really, really sure they can.
Okay. Second quick question, possibly. Outboard motor. Can you give advice on an outboard motor? I heard you say you could.
Is it a four-stroke or a two-stroke?
I'm not a mechanic. You have to add oil to it. I think that's a four-stroke, right? No, I mean a two-stroke.
That is. You're exactly right. Okay, hit me with it.
Okay, 1969 Chevrolet 9.9 outboard. It runs, but it spits and it leaks, you know, smoke everywhere and whatnot. Is something like that worth taking to somewhere to fix? And if so, do you have a recommendation, or is it just too old for parts? I'm better off just tossing it and buying something new.
That's a good answer. I need to ask you a couple questions. Forget about the smoke and all that kind of stuff. How does it idle? Does it idle like a two-stroke, ding, 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 or is it really nice, ding, 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 ding? What's it idle like?
Like an out-of-tune Harley.
Okay, good. Thank you for that. And does this? And when you throttle up wide open on the boat you're driving, does it go up and sing for you, or does it go da-da-da-da-da-da?
Kind of in between.
Okay.
I've never had it on the water, just in a bucket, because I just got it running.
Okay, all right. Is it peeing water out of the side of the outboard so that we know the water pump's turning and we got water coming out somewhere?
Yes.
Okay, good. Have you pulled the spark plug and looked at it?
Yes, got to put a new plug in it.
Okay. All right. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think. I don't know if I'd spend a whole bunch of money, but I think, and you know, not too long ago, a friend of mine, a lady had a boat up at Pleasant. She had a couple of two-stroke motors on them. And I tried and couldn't find anybody to go there and work on her two boats. I think I would call a couple of marinas, Saguaro, Pleasant, and talk to them and say, hey, I got this little bitty Chevrolet two-stroke. Do you know anybody that's extra good on two-strokes? That's what I do. I'd look for them. But I can tell you, there's guys out there, Blackwell would take that in a heartbeat, because we all like to measure ourselves against the bad. And if we can whip that motor's butt, and if we can make it purr like a sewing machine and throttle up and hold a fast throttle, it does as much for us as it does for you, but we get money and you spend money, but both of us are happy. And so, you know, I'd call Blackwell. I'd call Kurtz. And who else have I got up? And I know Harker's. Harker's Auto, Kurtz Automotive, and Blackwell Auto. And you can say to them, I talked to a guy on the radio, and he says that none of you you don't have a prayer in hell of fixing this. And it's, you know, it's throwing, it's shaking the red towel in front of the bull, so to speak.
Right.
And so, and then, if you have a big trash can and you've already bolted it to it, it's okay if you say, can I just come by? I'm going to bring the trash can. We'll fill it with water and I'll get it running for you and I'll tell you what I want to fix. This could easily be a carburetor problem. And pulling it off and cleaning it up. Most of us old guys, we don't need a kit. We're going to take it apart and clean it up and put it back in, and we got a 75% chance of fixing it. Anyway, I got to run, Keith. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If I don't have any callers, you need to know that this is what I do. 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. This is KKNT. Well, when it comes to Sun City, Auto Dynamics is my favorite shop. Family owned and operated since 1982. Chuck, the father, and Derek, the son. I've known Chuck since the mid-70s. So they stand behind their work. They do good work. They have really good technicians. I've met many of them, and they are pretty smart cookies. And some of them might be better than I am. But Auto Dynamics is on the north side of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. Lenny, you're up. How can I help you? Lenny?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call, Mark. I've got a 02 Buick, original buyer owner, and I lost my set of keys, so I had to buy a new FOB, but I took it to the dealer, and they want an exorbitant price to program it. Do you know anybody that could do that for me for maybe a lesser price?
Yeah. Do you have a pencil handy?
Yes, I do.
Okay. 480-598.
Wait, hold on just a minute, sir. Hold on just a minute.
All righty.
Oh, I dropped the pencil.
It's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
It's 480-598.
598.
1234.
1234, okay.
Ask for Alan.
Alan.
Tell him your dad said that you've got somebody who can rekey and fix my fob.
Okay, very good. I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
The last two times I've gone to emissions, the only thing they've done is check the gas cap for vapors, for fumes.
Yes.
That's all they did.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because they're just looking for the check engine light and for the computer to raise the hand and say there's a problem.
But they don't do anything else. That's sort of an emission check. They used to put the car on a treadmill or whatever, check it out.
You're right. We've kind of changed it, but they're looking at the check engine light. They don't plug anything under the dash?
Yeah, they did that. They plugged on the dash, and then checked the gas cap for fumes.
Okay. Everything we need to know about your car. We checked the back end. And we check the front end, and we know they're both in synchronization, and we know that anything in the front end that's bad, we'll see it on the tailpipe, but we're going to look at it through a different way other than the tailpipe, and then we're going to check your vehicle emissions. And trust me when I tell you it's the same test you had before.
Oh, yeah, right. It's always the same.
Okay. All righty, well,
good. Very good.
I'm glad you passed, and we're going to move on to Stan. Stan, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I had to turn the radio off.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem. Go ahead.
I have a Dodge Caravan 2000. It's a 3.3 liter motor.
Okay.
And it runs fine other than yesterday my brake light would not come on. I checked the bulbs, check the fuse. I bought new bulbs when I couldn't figure what's wrong. I bought new bulbs.
Okay.
And I
can answer this already. Okay.
Okay.
The brake light switch needs to be checked because there's power in and power out, but the power out goes through the turn signal switch, then it goes to the brake lights. So it's what needs to happen is well, first of all, we're going to go down and check the brake light switch to make sure that we have 12 volts in, and when the pedal's not being pushed, it's not coming out. Then we push the pedal and we make sure we got power in and power out. Then we're going to go up to the back and make sure we have a ground, and then we're going to go ahead and bypass that circuit and send power to the taillights, to the brake lights. Up, they light up, which means the sockets are good and the connections are good. So that only means the turn signal switch. So at that point, we'll disconnect the turn signal switch and we'll make sure that we have power coming in from the brake light switch. Then we make sure that it's going up. It's going up, but it's not being disseminated to the two brake lights. I'm going to bid a turn signal switch, and you're out the door with some diagnostic money and labor to replace the switch plus the switch.
Okay. All right. Okay. And, yes, sir. Thank you. You just gave me some ideas.
Okay. Good enough. Thank you. Thank you. Al, you're up next.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good morning. Whatever.
Thank you. Yes.
Hey, Mark, I got a question about it. I got a Duramax. I got a C45 Kodiak Chevy with a Duramax. The water pump's bad. I took the front shroud and all the air cleaner stuff to get to it. I'm down to just taking the clutch fan off, and right there's the water pump. I have the water pump. I broke my back in a darn accident, and I can't do what I thought I used to be able to do. Do you know anybody that does house calls?
Well, here's the answer to your question is no, but...
Okay.
I never... And let me first tell you that I think I can help you. I think I would call a couple of the auto parts store in your area, the CarQuest, the AutoZone, the O'Reilly's, and I would ask for the manager and tell them I don't have a complaint. I'd just like some information from the manager, and I'm not selling anything. You'll get to the manager.
Right.
Say there has to be a do-it-yourself guy there that you really respect. There has to be one that buys parts and doesn't return them because he tried this and tried that, and this worked and this didn't. So would you give me the name and the phone number, or could I leave my name and phone number with you, and could you have him call me? I think they're in the best position to know. Okay. On the other side of the coin, if those guys were so doggone good, they'd be working for me and making somewhere between $35,000 and $100,000. And they'd have benefits, and they'd have 401k, and they'd work 5 days a week, and that I would hug them every morning when they came in. But if they didn't brush their teeth, I ain't going to kiss them. So, but I understand your dilemma, and it's a health dilemma, and I think the option I gave you is the only one you have, and it's also the best one you have.
Okay?
Okay?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Al. You're welcome. Okay, I've been talking about, I got a letter. First of all, let me tell you, every year at the end of the year, Mark and his wife and his kids have a club called the Secret Santa Club. And what we do is there's a lot of people out there that feel pretty bad day after Christmas because they didn't do anything and they didn't know what to do. And it's a feeling that my family has that we could have done more, but we didn't. So we started this Secret Santa Club 20 years ago. So we tell people if you want to join us, and they do. And so, oh, I got to take a break, don't I? Well, 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem. I'm here every Saturday between 10 and noon talking about cars. But let me finish the story. So the Secret Santa Club, we opened it up to the general public, and we say you can make a donation, and we're going to use every penny you donate to go towards families, kids in need. And we do those investigations ourselves. In addition to that, my family matches the biggest offer, which was a mistake years ago when we said it, because all my friends get together and donate, you know, $800 and we have to match it, but that's okay. So anyway, at the end of the Christmas holiday, we send every receipt of everything we bought, and then we give them a synopsis that we hit this group home and we went here to the hospital, we did this and we talked to this people and we put money here. So we give a reconciliation. So I get an email this morning, which just absolutely ruined my day yesterday morning. Ruined my day. The gentleman was nice, and he says, I didn't get the reconciliation you promised me on the Secret Santa Club. I donated, and I feel like I've been conned. Man, that's like a knife. So I call my daughter and my wife, and I say, oh, and I write him back and say, I can give you a lot of excuses why you didn't give it, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find out what happened, and I'm also going to find out why you didn't get it, and I'm thinking to myself, we never did it, or we forgot, or whatever, and I'm going to give you your money back. So I'm going to give you the reconciliation as soon as I find it. I'm not going to make excuses for my wife and myself and my kids, but I'll take care of it. So I go to the shop, and I say to my daughter, Andy, when did you do the reconciliations? And she says, I already got that covered. And I said, no, you don't. I'm taking care of it. She says, I already got it covered. She says, we sent out the notifications. And keep in mind, today's the 6th of March. She says, we sent out the reconciliation on January 3rd. And he was sent a letter, and it had the reconciliation in it of every dime we spent. Sometimes we spend thousands of dollars, but the girls keep every single receipt. And she says, we sent it, and it didn't come back, Dad. So she says, I called the guy, and I said to him, let's verify your address, and it is the right address. And he says, and then he's a little agitated, but in a polite way, and he goes, I don't want my money back. I don't want my money back. And so they argue back and forth. And Andy goes, no, I've been instructed to give you your money back. And he says, I don't want my money back, or apply it next year, or whatever. So at the end of the day, we don't know what happened to the letter. It's never happened to us before. I think the two of us are on the same wavelength now. And I'm happy that he's going to continue. And I'm sad that this happened. But it was just an integrity issue. And we promised that we're going to send out the reconciliations, and we have for 10 or 15 years or more. So it's just something that happens in the life of Mark Salem, so I just thought I'd share it with you. It's not anything special. Strictly Diesel is up in North Phoenix, I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Nate is the finest diesel guy I know. He just has a wealth of information on diesels. And you look at him and you talk to him, and he just kind of smiles and he cocks his head. He already knows what's the matter with your truck. 90 times out of 100, he knows already. Just give him the symptoms, and he'll go diagnose it, and he'll call you with an estimate stuff. So if you're up near 7th Avenue and Pinnacle, actually, if you're up anywhere north of the river, and you got a diesel problem that nobody else can fix, or you want the best guy for the Dodge, the Chevy, the Ford, than maybe Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Dan, thank you for calling in. How can I help you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
I just had some transmission work done from the store around the corner from where Bob used to be, and I had a hard time getting him to change my oil pan gasket. And when I finally talked to him into changing it, they use a synthetic oil, and I've been using 10 to 10, 40 since, or 10, 30 rather, since the car was new. And now they put in a synthetic. I wonder if I should do anything, or that's going to be fine till my next oil change, or what do you think?
There's no way your car has a brain that's going to care. I'm going to make a silly joke that some people will find offensive, but you could take a leak in that car, and if it would run, nobody would care. So it's not. Now, here, let me just try to describe the differences. Your 1030 is a conventional oil. It has a 3,000 to 5,000-mile oil change interval. It also protects your engine up to 500 degrees, but let me admit, the motor's toast at 300. So this idea of Mobil 1 in a frying pan at 500 degrees, that's a wonderful visual, but it's not real life because the motor's going to cook at 3. Second of all, it'll flow out of the can at 60 below zero, and that's not really something in Arizona we need. However, it's the best. Okay, that's conventional. So 3,000 to 5,000 miles, parameters. The synthetic, the conventional burns up at 300, the synthetic burns up at 6. The synthetic pours out of the can at 60 below zero, and the conventional oil comes out like peanut butter at zero. And the semi-synthetic, nobody knows if it's 50-50 or 90-10. The amount of protection and the oil change intervals are different. The synthetic is 10 to 20. And as I said, conventional is 3 to 5, and semi-synthetic is 7, 5 to 7,500, 8,000. So the oil changes are different. Don't lose a bit of sleep over this. If you want to go back to your 1040, fine. But if you change the oil, the motor doesn't care. But if you change the oil, I wouldn't do it at 3. I'd probably take it to 7, 8, or 9 because you got synthetic in there. And I want to tell you, I run 12 to 14,000 miles on my diesel on synthetic oil. Doesn't bother me a bit. And I know I'm getting better fuel economy. I know I get superior protection because the older oils are, in an exaggeration, they're like peanut butter. And a synthetic is more like water. And let me explain. Put your hands together, palms out, and then rub your palms together as fast as you can. And when you do that, there's heat. Now, we want to go in there and lubricate this very fine area that's thinner than a hair. We want to go in there and we want oil to go in and lubricate the two metal parts that are running together and come out. So we want it to go in, lubricate, and carry some of the heat out. That's what oil does. So some of them do it a little better than the others. I like synthetic, but more than anything else, I like the oil change intervals because I don't want to come in every month and a half because I got 3,000 miles on it. So please don't worry about that. It's okay. It's okay. Next time, just put a little note on there that says, I want you to put 1030 back in it, just a conventional 1030. Now, there's a 1030 semi-synthetic. I'm not a real big fan of semi-synthetics except this. I got some people in Ahwatukee Mountain Park Ranch area that are in my marketing area, and they've been customers of mine since the early 80s. Many of them drive between 3 and 5 and 6 and 8,000 miles a year. So if they're between 3 and 5, I put conventional. They come in once a year just before the summertime. I change the oil. They go through the summertime with fresh oil. If they're north of that 7 but under 10, I'll put a semi-synthetic in there. And if the car calls for a synthetic or suggests a synthetic, I should say, then I'm going to give them a synthetic. And if they drive 15,000 miles a year, again, they come in one time a year, usually before summer, and they get an oil change. So there's lots of convenience here. There's a difference in protection. There's a difference in when you change it. And hopefully I explained it to your satisfaction. Okay?
Sure. One more simple question, comment. Why did I have to beg them to change my oil pan gasket? They kept saying it's not leaking, it's just a class 2 leak or something. It drips in the driveway, and they didn't want to change it.
I can explain that, really. I said that. You get underneath the car, and you look at it, and the gasket is more appropriately, and I'm guessing, please understand I'm guessing, it's weeping. Now, as the car goes down the road at 60 miles an hour, if it's got a leak that I need to worry about, then there's going to be oil from that leak all the way down the other side of the car. So I'm looking up here, and I see it weeping, and then I don't see any oil in front of the flywheel cover. I don't see any oil at the bottom of the tranny. I don't see any oil in the drive shaft all the way to the rear bumper. And I just don't think that's in your best interest. Now, it leaks when it's sitting there, but I want you to look at the rear bumper, and if the rear bumper has any oil spots on it, or the rear differential has any oil spots on it, you're right, they should have seen that. But unfortunately, now let me get this straight, Dan. You're complaining because they didn't want to spend money where you wanted them to, when 99,999 times other, they want you to do something that you don't want to do, and I'm just making fun, not of your situation. So,
well, it's a front-wheel drive car, and I figured, since how they had all the cradle off and stuff, the oil pan is just a piece of cake to get that done then, and it dripped a bunch in the driveway. I mean, it left big spots.
Okay.
And I changed the valve cover gasket and everything else, and you could see it right on the oil pan, you could see the drip.
Okay. I don't know why they said no, but I want to correct you. You drop the cradle, and it's right there. The cradle is a square box that holds the engine. You can't leave the motor and suspend it in thin air and pull the cradle. That doesn't happen. This is a big job. So
they had the transmission out anyway.
Okay. Doesn't make any difference. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. It doesn't make a difference because they already had either the engine out of the cradle, which is the easiest way to handle it. Just lift the engine out of the cradle. They took the tranny off, and so the oil pan is more exposed. And but you're asking me to explain why they said they did. I'm confused as you are, frankly. I'm confused as you are. They should have seen this oil leak all the way underneath the car to the back. I don't know why they didn't, other than the fact that the technician didn't want to do it, so he said it's not that bad, and over there is three cars he can make a whole lot more money on. Or the tranny guy says, I don't want to do the oil pan because if it leaks, then I'm going to have to do it again. So you got the tranny guy here, you got the general tech here, and for some reason or other, the service writer didn't have the wherewithal to go between all of those and answer your questions. And that can happen in the chain stores and the independent shops like mine and dealerships, so I'm not piling on them. Anyway, that's a great question, Dan. Good luck to you. I agree with you, but then again, I wasn't there. Okay, so a couple of my friends called me. They heard me talk about the battery in my box that fires up the computer, and when you lose power, this battery alternate power supply keeps you running. And when I'm doing radio, that's kind of important. So one of them calls me. His name is Tom, and he says, you always talk about weighing the battery. You always talking about the cheap ones or don't weigh as much as the really good ones, and did you weigh this? And I said to him, all the specifications match perfectly. It's a 3-amp-hour battery. It's a 12-volt 3-amp-hour, and that's what I took out of there. And I says, and admittedly, I don't have the new one, so I can't really weigh it against the old one. But I can tell you, this little bitty battery weighs a lot. And this is exactly the kind of battery that goes in all of our quads, my grandkids' quads, and the quads we have at the ranch. So trust me when I tell you that the weight of this battery is sufficient for Mark Salem using his hand and his arm to lift it up and then look at the numbers on his elbows. But my point of the whole thing was is there's an easy way sometimes to kind of peel the tag off and see what's underneath it and then Google that number and see if the price is different, because at the end of the day, this was a $12 battery, but with a different tag on it, it was $39.95, and it's the same battery. So that's just my offer to you. What else have I got here? Battery weight. Oh, my email. My email is mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. Please leave your phone number on your email, because most always I have questions to ask you. As you'll notice in the repair shop lingo in the show, you tell me what you got and I'm going to ask you a lot of questions, because I need to get closer. And I need to see the problem through your eyes, and you don't know what's important to me, so that's why I ask questions. So that's real important. And I also want you to leave a phone number I can call you and a time frame I can call you. I'm going to call from a blocked phone. Most people don't answer that, and I understand that. It's okay. But the idea is that I have a phone, and I have to call by a blocked phone for obvious reasons. So sometimes I'll call and I'll leave a message and say, hey, this is Mark. I'll try you back in another 30 minutes or something like that. So I'm happy to talk to you. Or if you want to give me just all of it in verbiage and text, then I'll do my best there. So mark@marksalem.com, and I'm happy to help you. Doing this show has been always a lot of fun for me. I'm going to continue to do it. Like I told you at the beginning of the hour, I've been doing it since 1988. Thank you for your compliments, but I have a lot of experience doing this. And I must admit, I get better as the years go by. I'm a whole lot better this year than I was last year. I've learned patience, and Gil has been running the show, and I appreciate his guidance. And then I end up inside the principal's office every once in a while, and I appreciate his guidance as well. So I'll see you next Saturday right here, 10 to noon.